You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are talking
while married.
Well, I thought I'd start off our coffee conversation by talking about the Democrats, their strategy in minimizing the imprint of Kamala Harris in this election.
Interesting that they would choose her for a vice presidential position and have her not go out and speak as little as she has done that and not take questions when she does go out and speak.
Well, you know, this to me, of the different candidates who are out there, first of all, I didn't think they're in the pack, which were the presidential candidates. I really didn't think that there was a really good candidate to pick out of that group as a vice presidential candidate. I think there are other qualified Democrats there. And since he said he was going to pick a female.
A black female.
Yeah. I think there are some black females in the party that are, you know, in other state and federal positions that could make a better imprint than Kamala Harris. But that being said, and knowing her background, because you and I are escapees from Calisuela, where she's, you know, one of our senators, along with Dianne Feinstein, we know her background.
Yes.
And if you're running for the position of vice president, literally a heartbeat away from the presidency, and in this particular case, that's really a truism, then I think you have to go with that strategy. And here's a great case in point. So recently, she's in Shaw University, which is a largely black college in North Carolina, and the press is all invited. And of course, there's an audience there, and she gives a speech, and she, you know, the usual totally trouncing President Trump, yada, yada, yada. And then she completes her speech, and instead of taking questions from the audience or taking questions from the press, because what a wonderful opportunity to further elaborate on your positions and your statements, she walks off the stage, zero questions from the audience. Remember, a largely black college, so largely your audience are going to be blacks. And the media, who are always so supportive of, you know, Sleepy Joe Biden and her, and she just walks off the stage, zero questions. What do you make of that?
Well, this has been her pattern, Ron. She has not taken questions, I don't think at all, and I could be wrong there, but I haven't seen her take questions at all. In fact, she has hardly been on the campaign trail, and only now that we're very close to the election is she actually, you know, making some appearances. Here's the other thing that is incongruent in my mind. Her background is one of not supporting law enforcement. Her background is one of putting lots of blacks in prison. Her background is one of having affairs on her way up
the ladder.
Up the ladder.
Willie Brown.
And yeah. With married men, okay?
Yeah. More than one.
More than one. And she laughs it off and says it's just politics. The press never hits her on that. Now, if that would be the case with, say, Judge Amy Coney Barrett, had she had affairs with married men on the way up, they would be all over it, and they would be saying all kinds of terrible things about her, as they have about Trump and other people who have had affairs. So they pick and choose when they're going to use something against somebody, and there's not a word said to her. And she has been, probably in my lifetime, the most ineffective vice presidential candidate I have ever seen.
Well, she hasn't done much as a senator in the state of California, and I think Californians, by and large, understand that. And that's why I'm saying, boy, you know, why are you picking a vice presidential candidate that really hasn't been an effective federal representative for the state you know, that she's born and raised in, and you're going to pick her as your vice presidential candidate. But, you know, since you opened the door about law enforcement, you know, one of the biggest problems that we're having in the United States right now, of course, is this extreme civil unrest, largely within the, you know, the Black communities throughout the United States, this huge Black Lives Matter movement, which is actually part of an international movement called One World, One Order. It's Marxist, it's Black nationalist, it's Black separatist, and it's a violent, extreme movement. Now, I'm not saying there aren't people, because I know there are people that want social justice for Black people and people of color. There's certainly people like that within the Black Lives Matter movement, but the founding members and the leaders of these different chapters and, you know, throughout the United States speak a violent rhetoric and encourage violence. They encourage the looting, including, you know, the assaults on police, the rioting, the severe damage to communities, many of which are Black communities and Black businesses and Black business owners that become the victims of this. Now, saying that, we know for a fact that Kamala Harris encourages the donations to an organization that funds the bail and early release of rioters, of violent protesters, and people that President Trump has labeled domestic terrorists, such as Antifa.
Yes, and she is having people bailed out who have committed all the crimes that you've just said. But what I see is, since you're talking about Black Lives Matter, what I see is, you know, for example, you just had this Black Lives Matter woman drive a car through Trump supporters, and you have had
and hit them
yeah, and you've had these people walk up to officers on the street and say, do Black Lives Matter? And if an officer says, well, all lives matter, I mean, they you know, spit in their face, they do all kinds of things. This is probably the ugliest time that I have seen in my lifetime. Even when we had the civil distress that we had in our generation,
which was Vietnam War primarily,
right? And there were things that were ugly there, and there were things that were violent there. But this is just this is much more pervasive, and it's much more race oriented.
Yeah, and you know, comparing and contrasting what we dealt with during the Vietnam War, and we were both law enforcement officers during the, you know, some of that at the beginning of where all that unrest took place. And I'll have to say that there was nowhere near the level of violence during the Vietnam War protests that there are today. Now, we had collateral issues happening, but they were also associated and almost always associated with some Marxist or leftist revolutionary movement. I know the Black Panther Party in the late 60s and early 70s, which is a Marxist Black separatist group and remains so today, they were involved in ambushing and killing police officers and in extreme violence. The Weather Underground, you know, associated with Bill Ayers, you know, a big supporter of Barack Obama at the time and continues to be Barack Obama supporting Ayers supporting Barack Obama, you know, this whole underground revolutionary movement. But and we had bombings associated with them.
Yes.
But nothing about riots where they're going down into towns and they're burning and they're looting and they are assaulting the police at the level that they are. And to have a Black woman who is in the thick of it and encouraging the bailing out of these domestic terrorists and these other violent protesters is to me an abomination and absolutely amazing. And the American people deserve to ask her questions. The American press deserve to ask her questions and have her elaborate on her various positions.
Well, it seems, Ron, as though both Kamala and Joe Biden they have been just not available to anybody to ask all of the questions that Americans want to know. And now we may really never get the real Joe Biden, because in the debates that are upcoming, what they have said is that Joe Biden had an implant implanted in his ear called an Esteem hearing implant. And you can read about it, Esteem hearing implant. And you implant it, and you have a little thing that you can carry with you, and somebody else can talk to you.
You have a transmitter responder.
Right. So what they're saying is that in the debates that Joe Biden, and also previous to the debates, so when you see him becoming confused in a conversation and he looks lost, he reaches into his pocket, and then all of a sudden he has the answer. Well, that's because somebody's feeding him the answer. And if this is what he's going to do during the debate, then we don't have any idea who the real Joe Biden is or what the real Joe Biden even knows, Ron. What we will have is a mouthpiece for somebody else.
Well, I've got two strategies for that.
Okay.
Number one, President Trump needs to transition while Joe is reaching into his pocket. He needs to transition from president to police officer, and he needs to say to Joe on camera, "Let me see your hands.
What's in your pocket, Joe?"
Don't touch your pockets. The next thing is the Republicans need to put a jamming device on the stage, because undoubtedly that's going to be some sort of Bluetooth transmitter. But isn't that incredible that, and obviously these are allegations. There's been nothing proven yet, but you know, come on, Joe. Isn't that what he says? Come on, man. You know, do you have to resort to something like that?
I would suggest that people go back and look at what few interviews there are with Joe, and you can see this actually happen. I do believe it. I know that in one of the debates, Hillary had an earpiece, and she had one of those boxes that you put on your back so that somebody could talk to her. So if they're going to get fed answers, I don't feel like the American people are getting the true story or the true knowledge of the person that is running for the president of the United States, the most powerful position in the entire world. I think it's incumbent upon whoever is running the debates to make sure that that's not happening.
No, you know, that's actually right. And Dr. Ron, who's been on television numerous times, has actually had a similar device. And the producer speaks to me in my ear.
Oh, I'm going to feed you information.
So when you see me on television and I appear to have that confused look on my face, that's because I want the producer to shut up and let me just talk.
Well, I just find this really disappointing. And, you know, along with everything in this election has been so bizarre. Just even honestly, quite honestly, the fact that Joe Biden is the nominee is bizarre to me, because he obviously is not completely all there. And the other things that I'm seeing are the lack of questions, the lack of availability, the lack of going out and speaking to crowds. Yet, according to the polls, these two are still ahead.
So in the last month, out of 28 days, Joe Biden has put a lid on all but 10 of those days. And that was a new term. I didn't know what the term lid stood for. But what it means is, I'm not doing anything. I'm in the bunker. I'm not going to have any contact with the press. I'm not going to have any contact with the public. So here's a guy running for president of the United States that is consistently putting a lid on what he's doing. And I think it's for two reasons. Number one, the guy doesn't have the energy to do it.
No, he doesn't.
All right. And number two, he's had so many gaffes. And politicians have gaffes from time to time. It's understandable, but not consistently. And I think he's really worried about that. I think he has a stamina problem, an energy problem, and I think he has a memory problem.
But if somebody's feeding him the answers at the debates, that's unfair to the American people. And I agree with you on all fronts that he has those problems. And President Trump has been out there doing his thing. I catch as many of his speeches as I can because I get a kick out of watching him. He's off the cuff. He's just, you know, talking and talking and saying all the things that he thinks. He really has a story and he has a lot to talk about. Why? Well, here's the answer as to why Joe Biden would still be ahead. A couple of things. One is the media is doing all of his campaigning for him. He doesn't need to do a darn thing because the media is doing it all for him. If I ever turn on the stations like an MSNBC or CNN, I'm absolutely shocked at the things that they're saying. And I'm absolutely insulted that they insult the American people in the way that they do with the lies that they tell. And the other reason is because, I mean, let's be honest, Donald Trump has done some of this to himself because of his tweeting and, you know, his brash manner. For me, I'm okay with the brash manner because it has helped him push forward. The man pushes forward through everything.
So how do you think the brash manner is going to impact the debate? Do you think that President Trump, when he debates Joe Biden, do you think that that personality trait is going to fall into it? What do you think the strategy is?
I think it's part of his personality. President Trump has said that he did not prepare a lot for the debates, and maybe that will be a mistake. I don't know, because I am quite sure that Joe Biden has, and they have said that Joe Biden has been preparing for the debates. And my gut feeling, Ron, is he's preparing on how to use that little
device,
the transmitter, so that it's as inconspicuous as possible. And he's learning how to get the words into his ear so that he can repeat them. But with President Trump, I think if something happens in the debate where Joe Biden says something insulting, you better believe he's going to get an insult back.
Well, you know, and it's been said a few times before, and it's, I think it's an accurate portrayal. There's a huge difference between Biden and Trump with respect to answering questions. Biden hasn't been answering really any questions.
No, none.
I mean, there have been no tough questions whatsoever. I paid a lot of attention to the questions that are thrown at him. They're all softball questions, everyone. I mean, I think a high school kid could basically answer those questions. But Trump is out there every single day, and he is barraged by the media. And every single question that gets thrown at Trump by, you know, more of the leftists and, you know, media that's more complicit with the Democrats is a gotcha question or a tough question. There really aren't any easy questions for Donald Trump, and he's doing this day in and day out. And so he's pretty used to doing that. But Trump's no dummy either, because as everybody has pointed out correctly, Biden's been a professional politician for, you know, 47 years. So he's used to the debate stage and how that game is played with moderators. And Trump is not. He's only, you know, done, you know, a couple of, how many debates do you think totally he did in the presidential election in 2016? Was there like six or something like that? Anyway.
But he did okay in them.
Yeah. Oh, no, he did fine. Yeah. But he is practicing. He's got Rudy Giuliani there, and he's got Chris Christie there. So we'll just have to see how the debate goes.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutLoud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Comments that Joe Biden has said about President Trump about the debate regarding the debates is that he doesn't have to worry because Trump is not a very smart guy and he doesn't know details about anything. I just absolutely beg to differ. I think that President Trump, he can talk off the top of his head about so many things in the world, in our country, around the world, off because he knows the details intimately. He is a details guy. He's a big picture guy for sure, but he also knows the details of things, which is pretty amazing considering all of the different things that he's got his hands in. And he's not the type of president that has his hands in one thing over here and that's all he can do at the same time. This guy is a serious multitasker. And I love that about him. And I love that he does know the details and he does know intimately, you know, the people's names in the other countries. He knows what's going on there. And you can throw him almost any question and he'll know the answer.
I think the thing that probably helped the most in getting President Trump, when he was then candidate Trump, into the presidency is the fact that he has been an international business tycoon. And he has gone all over the world. He's met thousands and thousands of people just within the business community and the international political community. And when that's what you do for a living every single day, and it is a real trait. And I wish I had this trait. And I think both of us have this problem from time to time. We forget people's names.
Yes.
And but when you're at Trump's level, and I'm not even talking about President Trump. I'm talking about the business tycoon Trump. It's just critical that you know who you're talking with and you're very fluent with those people. And it's a real admirable quality. I like the fact that you talk about Trump being the big picture guy. And I'm going to go back into, you know, President Trump, transition from businessman Trump to President Trump. You've got to be a big picture guy when you are the president of the United States. I think everybody that works for Trump, that everybody who has ever worked for Trump will tell you this about him. He has boundless energy. They don't know where the hell he finds time to sleep, or even if he does in fact sleep. But he is a multitasker, as you said, Linda, and he's got his hands in all the pieces of the puzzle. And with that global mindset, that really has had a lot to do with moving this country forward. And let me say this, and it's not reported in the general mainstream media, but there was just recently an article that came out, and I think it was in, you know, I don't want to misquote it, but I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, that just recently came out that said that in the 1 year preceding the pandemic of COVID, Trump's administration, under his leadership, had moved this country farther economically in 1 year than in the preceding 8 years under the Obama-Biden administration. In 1 year, we went farther than in all of the 8 years that we went in the Obama-Biden administration.
Well, the stock market alone will tell you that.
Absolutely phenomenal. And you know, you're talking about, you know, this hatred for Trump. And I want to, you know, kind of segue into it later on during our conversation, because we had a recent conversation with a Democratic friend, a very civil conversation. I mean, he's a friend. And it was interesting to see the mindset, but I don't want to steal our thunder from that. But the hatred for Trump just completely throws a wet blanket over all of these amazing international accomplishments. And I think he just got his third Nobel Peace Prize nomination from Australia.
Really? I've only heard about two.
No, he's got a third one now.
I'll be darned. Well, you know what? The mainstream media did not report it at all when he got his second one. They did not even have it in their news, which was absolutely amazing to me. The way that he is treated by the news, and I say news, you know, just because it's the name that they're called, but it no longer is. I mean, our news is no longer news because they're not reporting the news. They're trying to make people think what they want them to think, And they're being dishonest, completely dishonest about what's going on in our country.
To me, it's not news, it's commentary.
You're right.
You know, when you go on to Fox, you know who the reporters are, and you know who the commentators are. Okay, Bill Hemmer is a news guy. Sean Hannity is a commentator, right? Martha McCollum is a news person, and Tucker Carlson is a commentator. You know that. If you go into One American News, you know the difference. And you go to any of the viable news sources, you know the difference. You can't say that with the mainstream media.
I want a news station where I can just get news and without all the commentary. And it's not, I think that's gone, just gone. But anyway, it is profoundly a different campaign between Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and between Donald Trump and Mike Pence. The difference is two of them are accessible and answer questions every single day, and the other two hide wherever they are and they take no questions. Yet, because of the anger of the American people and because they are told that things like COVID are Donald Trump's fault, all kinds of things are Donald Trump's fault in this country, climate change, I mean, you name it, where this man has done more for America in the ways of fuel, in the ways of uplifting every color of person. You know, you talk about the whole racial thing going on. President Trump uplifted Blacks and their jobs and their incomes more than any president, I think, in history. Yet, still, we have this just confusing hatred towards him because of what people are told.
You know, I'm glad that you brought this up, because last night I'm driving home from work and I'm listening to the news, and they were talking about the debates, and they were doing kind of a person on the street interview in the city that one of the debates is taking place in. And you could tell who the Republican Trump supporters were, and you could tell who the Democrat Joe Biden supporters were. And let me tell you what I got out of that. Whenever they asked and by the way, they just wanted females. So for some reason, the focus was on, let's see what females have to say. So these are all females that are talking. And the people that you could tell were Republicans and Trump supporters, they said, you know, who are you voting for right now? And will the debates make any difference? And I think universally, people had pretty much made their mind up, and the debates weren't going to have anything to do, which I think is, I mean, if you don't know who you're going to vote for by now.
Well, since you can vote,
and you can vote right now, right?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's nuts. Yeah. But anyway, here's my point. When they talked about the people that were going to vote for President Trump, every single one of them mentioned accomplishments. And the predominant accomplishment was, I feel it in my paycheck. I feel it financially. I feel that my family is moving forward because there's more money in my pocket. The economy, the tax breaks, you know, whatever. Financially, they felt better. Security-wise in the world, they felt better. They felt better about our national security. On the Biden side, universally, I thought this was just so fascinating. I don't like Trump. I don't like Trump. He's brash. I don't like his personality. I don't like Trump. It had nothing to do with, well, what had Joe Biden accomplished with Obama during
47
the
8 years?
Yeah, I mean, what about Harris?
He got, you know, here's what Joe Biden accomplished, Ron. He got himself and his family extremely, extremely wealthy.
Oh, and we all know that. And they don't want to,
they don't ask him a single question about it. But you're absolutely right that is exactly how people look at it. And the people that are voting for President Trump know exactly why. And you and I, we do the Trump train every weekend. And we see the love and respect for the president. And what else we see is the absolute kindness and patriotism of the thousands of people that are involved just in our area, where these are all over the country. the patriotism of the people is just, it's a beautiful thing to see how nice the people are, how helpful they are, how respectful they are. Now, I will contrast that from my own experience with, and I'll give you two examples right now. And you can, I'm sure, give me some, where we have the Biden supporters seem to be, in my opinion, angry people. They're angry and they don't have a really good reason for voting for Biden. Now, I'm not a Facebook user by far. I have a Facebook account, but I work a lot and I don't have a lot of time to play on Facebook. So,
well, I have a Facebook account.
And you play and on Facebook.
Oh, see, I knew you were going to say that. Like, okay, so this was like a backslap Dr. Ron.
No, but I just don't care to put my life on Facebook. So, but I did venture on there and I saw immediately, an article or a writing from somebody talking about their hatred, their absolute hatred for President Trump, and mostly about the Supreme Court nomination, that we should not be nominating somebody now. Now, by the way, what people don't know is that every single solitary time there has been an opening of the Supreme Court, a president has nominated, there's not a time that they haven't.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a stark contrast. And I think, so the Trump trains are a microcosm. Would you agree with that?
Sure.
Okay, so I mean, but to me, the Trump train and the contrast with the people that we meet, and you know, last week I was invited to give a little speech in front of the assembled unwashed masses at the Trump train, and then you know we go through the different communities.
I think everybody was washed.
No, I'm kidding. But here's what I think. And I want to talk to you about this because I'm segueing into something here. And we get there and it's a family type of thing, right? There's
yes.
kids. And I love to see that. I love to see kids being brought up.
Dogs.
Learning civics and, you know, their parents taking them there. We do a Pledge of Allegiance. We say a prayer. We say some different things. And there's a lot of American flags. There's a lot of thin blue line flags. There's tremendous support with the military and law enforcement. And it's a wonderful, and it's a fun experience. That's why
yes.
we go. I mean, it's a fun, patriotic experience. I think the Democrat experience is different. As you're indicating, there's a lot of people that simply hate Donald Trump. But there's a lot of people, I'm not saying all, but there is certainly a considerable segment of that population that doesn't like America. They have a different impression of what America is all about than we do. And those are the two divergent Americas that are now sucked into the political environment with everything that's going on right now, because everything right now is political. The presidential debates, the vice presidential debates, as you call it, the down ballot, mm-hmm. the other federal and local people, and you know, Supreme Court justices, all of that, it's all political. But do you not agree? I mean, do you see it? You can say, hey, I don't see it. But do you see the divergence of America, the two different American experiences?
Oh, well, absolutely. And I absolutely blame our schools for that, because they have indoctrinated the kids to think that America is a bad place, that we're unfair, that we're racist, and all the things that you are hearing now. And now those kids have come up to the age of voting. It is mostly those people that are out there doing all the protesting. In fact, all the people that are out there doing the protesting are people that are either paid to do it or they are disgruntled people in some way. These are not your working, people that are raising a family and doing their job every day. These are people that I don't have a lot going for them in life as I see it. And so they go out and they do all of this stuff. Or some people may just want, you know, some sort of adrenaline rush and get in there and mix it up. I don't know. But the thing is, the people that we have dealt with or seen, and the people on my Facebook, were so angry and so vitriolic in the things that they said. I stayed very polite. They did not. And this also goes to a friend that you and I were speaking to the other night, that said that he was going to vote for Joe Biden. And we asked why, and he really couldn't articulate why. And he said, because Trump is corrupt. And I said, well, tell me how. He could not. He had nothing to say. And I said, well, what about Joe Biden, you know, and all of the money that his kid and him got from the Ukraine, from Russia, from the Russian president's wife or whoever
from
that woman
oligarchs,
was,
yeah.
Oligarchs, from China. How do you explain that? He completely brushed that off and went on to say something else about Trump. And he just had no good reason that he could articulate whatsoever.
You know, I was a fly on the wall during that conversation, and I just was letting you know, carry the conversation, you know, with our friend. And by the way, it was a very friendly and it was very civil conversation. And that's exactly what my experience was, listening to him speak. And I found it to be a universal problem with the Democrats that we run into, that we have contact with, that we communicate with in a civil fashion, you when you're having discussions, or when we're listening to people that are being interviewed by the media. And that is pretty much what we see. There is nothing substantive
No.
in their arguments about why they're voting for Biden-Harris, but why they're voting for that ticket. It is all anti-Trump vitriol that really tends to be, you know, the term Kool-Aid. It's just stuff that they're being fed, and they're incessantly being fed on the media, and that's what spouts out of their mouth. Come on, give me something independent. Don't tell me what Don Lemon is feeding you from CNN. Tell me how you really feel. Why do you think it will be better to vote for the Biden-Harris ticket in moving the United States of America forward in comparison, take COVID out of it, in comparison to where we were before COVID?
Well, and COVID came from China, not from Donald Trump.
Right. So let's get that cup of coffee and come back, because I've got more to talk with you about. Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DrRonMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
We're all settled down for the coffee. And can you just tell just a little bit that fall is approaching?
Absolutely.
And you notice that the temps are kind of going down. I'm loving it.
Yes.
I really am loving it. Hey, listen, I wanted to just kind of continue in that vein, and because I think largely this evening we're having a political coffee conversation. But, you know, going back to the Trump train and the MAGA train and all of these different things that are going on, what do you think, in light of the polls that consistently show that Joe Biden is ahead of Trump, but not by much, and I think it's diminishing, what do you think about the impact of the silent majority is going to have on this election cycle?
Well, I truly hope that that silent majority gets out and votes. And there's really a lot of little pieces to this that are very bothersome. The fact that they have put all of these ways to vote supposedly due to COVID, which I think is baloney. I think it's just an excuse. And now they've got people voting literally months early, and they've got all these mail-in votes. And now you're seeing things go wrong with them, where Republican ballots get trashed, where people are vote harvesting.
Oh yeah, huge investigation right now going on in the city of Minneapolis, which is the district of one of the squad.
Ilhan Omar, yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So some people in her organization are definitely being investigated right now for voter fraud.
They're paying people to harvest
votes.
But, and this has also happened on Skid Row in Los Angeles.
Correct.
Where they're going through and they're giving people something for signing these ballots, and now they don't want to even have to verify signatures. I mean, they're trying to steal the election. And you know what's so interesting about this to me psychologically, and people need to really wake up to what's happening. The Democrats keep saying that the Republicans are trying to steal the election. They're the ones that are trying to steal the election, but they say it so that it takes the onus off of them so that you look the other way.
And you're referring to the Democrats, of course. You know, we're really not seeing the frauds on the Republican side here that we see consistently in the Democrat side. We just saw that the Attorney General filed 134 felony charges against all three. There was a black county commissioner in one of our counties here in Texas, and two of his assistants all went down on 134 counts of felony voter fraud, all of them Democrats. And then, you know, you mentioned what's happening in Skid Row, what has happened, and that was a very good criminal investigation there, where they pretty much arrested and moving forward on prosecution. And then Judicial Watch, I believe it was Judicial Watch, which is a great organization and we donate money to, they found 1.5 million fraudulent votes in the county of Los Angeles alone. I mean, just absolutely incredible. And just the tip of the iceberg in the state of California. I do not believe on their own, as a Democratic Party, the Democrats could win without significant voter fraud. Look at the lawsuit that's going on right now. I don't remember what state it is, but there is a lawsuit that had to be filed against the state government that against signature verification on ballots.
Exactly.
Okay, and they're Democrats. They're fighting against verifying signatures on ballots.
Because they want to do this ballot harvesting and to have our military votes in the trash for Donald Trump. Is, you know, what they're catching, Ron, my fear is, and everybody in America should be afraid, my fear is that what they're catching is such a minute amount of what's happening. And it's to me, it's so very likely that President Trump loses the election based on fraudulent votes, because this is happening around the country. And my belief is people should go to the polls, period. They should just go to the polls. If you are Republican and you're voting by mail, your vote may never get there. You need to go to the polls and vote.
You know, you gave me a wonderful idea for my speech this past week with the Trump train people, and that was to vote the down ballot. All right. And what does that mean? And when you said that, and I like to think I'm fairly politically savvy, but I didn't understand the term, and I had to come to you, bow to your wisdom, your sage wisdom. And the down ballot, everybody's all caught up, and of course, rightly so, in the president, you know, the vice president elections. But the down ballot is extremely important. Because what happens to us as Americans and as families actually occurs on two different levels. There's the federal level, right? Federal things, federal funding, security issues, national security, things like that, taxation, all of those, you know, school choice, you know, pro-choice, all of those different things. That happens on the federal level. But what is equally important, Linda, that you pointed out, and I basically stole your idea and gave a speech about it, is that we are also, as Americans and as families, just as equally, if not more, affected by what happens in our state and what happens in our local governments and what happens in our state and local school boards. And so you've got to pay attention to the down ballot, all those peoples whose names come after the federal officials. So we have to encourage our listeners and our Talking While Married family and friends to, for God's sakes, take a look at some of that. I know you get inundated with it because I know we do. I don't know who gets more political mail than we do, but you have to read some of those, some of the information on the people that are running for office and do independent research, because that, if you got kids, that's going to affect you, right? If you have people screaming about defunding law enforcement and their local people, that's going to affect you. If you have an idiot mayor and an idiot people running for city council, believe you me, that's going to affect you.
You know, here's a perfect example. We've had so many of our friends who have kids going to college who tell us that when they come back from that first semester in college, they're different people and they have different ideas because of what they're being fed in college. Well, I hate to tell those parents this, but that was happening all the way along as they were coming up in school. And parents have to pay attention to who they're putting on their boards of education. It's critically important to not have these books that are teaching your child sex in third grade in a way that you may not want them taught. And you know, as I've said many times, they are taking over your role as a parent and teaching kids things that you may not even know about. We are such a busy society. And I think that that has been one of the kind of silver linings from COVID and people staying home, is I think a lot of parents got a wake-up call as to what their kids were actually learning.
Yeah, and I know you're such a huge proponent of having good education. And me, I've been in the education system, you know, almost my entire adult life, you know, as a teacher and a professor. And everything you're saying, Linda, is so important. Parents must engage. I know y'all are busy. I know you're working. I know you come home and you're tired and you don't want to belong to PTA or, you know, whatever, but you've got to engage in your school districts. You must engage. You must find out, you know, who your superintendent of schools are, your independent or unified school districts.
Well, you want to see the school books.
Oh, absolutely.
And peruse them.
And you know, we had a conversation about this very recently where someone, a matter of fact, it's Lonnie
Pope,
our in Texas, our wonderful candidate for the Department of Education school board. And she brought to us a book on sex education that they're teaching third graders. And you and I were absolutely shocked. There was stuff in that book that third graders should not be taught whatsoever. And when you talk, Linda, about how the schools are coming in and becoming the parents and taking the place of the parents, that is absolutely happening. And parents have got to get copies of these school books before, you know, they're introduced into the school. So, you know, in I think every school district that I know, the school board has a meeting, and of course it's a public meeting and parents can attend. You all got to go to those school meetings, those school board meetings, when they are introducing books.
And it's not just listening and buying into what those people are saying. Those people may not be your friends or allies for your children at all. They may, you know, it's kind of like a wolf in sheep's clothing kind of thing. You need to actually get involved. But it's not just that part of the down ballot. The judges are so critically important in all the different areas, in the appeals courts, in the Supreme Courts, in the states, and the local. You have to pay attention to who you're voting for and actually what their records are. I know that it takes time to learn these things. How do you and I learn it? Well, we go listen to people from time to time. It doesn't take a lot of time. It takes an hour or two out of your day to go see what the politicians have to say and what they're for and what they're not for. But it's so critically important in every single thing that happens in your life, in your community.
Yeah, you know, and here's a great example of that. We went to a candidates forum. I was also speaking, and even though I'm not running for anything, I was asked to come and speak. And we were introduced to two phenomenal candidates, both brilliant jurists. And one is Renee Yonta, who's running for Supreme Court Justice on the Fourth Circuit in the state of Texas, and also Kevin Urie, mm-hmm. who's running again. He's, you know, reelecting Judge Urie on the Criminal Court of Appeals in Texas.
The state Supreme Court.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And both are brilliant jurists. And we had a unique opportunity to speak to them individually,
yes.
and then listen to them talk. And we are talking about two jurists that are what they refer to as contextual jurists. And these are people that understand and are very fluent with the United States Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and they interpret it literally. They don't make new case law. They don't try to make things up and then present that as law. They are rule of law people. And so, Linda, when you're talking about how important it is to vote for jurists that are rule of law people, I absolutely agree with you. And then the other thing, and I'll point out, because I'm in court all the time, dealing with district attorneys. For God's sakes, one of the most horrible things that I have seen take place in the last couple of years now is George Soros financially backed district attorney candidates that have been elected, and they are absolute nutcases off the walls, and they are what I call prosecutorial advocates. A great example is that new Soros financially backed DA who won the election up in Portland, Oregon. I can't remember his name, but he just dropped the charges on an arsonist and an attacker of police. This guy threw a Molotov cocktail at police and also at buildings, which is an extreme, as far as I'm concerned, it's deadly force. And that DA released him.
Well,
with
and the same thing with the guy in California.
Absolutely amazing.
Who is releasing all the criminals so that Californians can be re-victimized. And not just Californians, because these people don't stay where they are. They move all around the country. So all of the down ballot votes are equally as important. And, you know, to the people that I've met that are angry and that don't like Trump and are voting for Joe Biden just because they don't like Trump, you're going to end up with Kamala Harris, which is the worst possible scenario as your president, because Joe is not going to stay president for a very long time. I don't believe that. That being said, you really need to look at her record, and it's not stellar. And her, talk about a dictator kind of personality where she doesn't want to work with people and communicate with people. She's going to do what she wants to do, and you're not going to get have anything to say.
And you know, people have a short memory, because if you remember when then Supreme Court Justice nominee Brett Kavanaugh was up against the Senate subcommittee and they were questioning him, Kamala Harris, the Democratic vice presidential candidate, was one of the most vile and vociferous people against
and
Brett
she didn't
Kavanaugh.
Give him a chance to speak at all.
And she was 100% wrong on everything. Let me repeat that. She was 100% wrong on everything. Now, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh, was innocent. He was an innocent man that was just being eviscerated by Kamala Harris. This is the person that you want to be the next president of the United States, because I agree with Linda, old Sleepy Joe ain't going to make it. We're probably going to see him for a few months, maybe a year. After that, it's going to be very questionable about who exactly is running the United States of America.
Well, if you have to be fed answers to your questions, you're a puppet anyway. And the question is, who is he a puppet of? He's in the pocket of China and Ukraine and all these other places that give his family money. It's very scary. And when I look at all of the things that the Biden-Obama administration did, that President Trump had to undo so that our country could move forward, we just can't go back to that.
Well, you know, and I think the hardest thing, probably the biggest challenge, and of course the naysayers are going to be totally against what I'm going to say right now, is that, for God's sakes, I get the fact that some people out there do not, well, actually quite a few people out there do not like Donald Trump. You don't like his Twitter account. You don't like his brashness. You don't like his attitude. You don't like his personality. But remember, Donald Trump is one component, albeit the most important one, but he's one component of a complete system and an administration that moves the United States of America forward. And we have definitely been moving forward economically, security-wise, militarily, financially, civil rights-wise. Please don't listen to these Black Lives Matter people. It's an emotional Marxist rhetoric built on nothing. Okay, look how far people of color have gone throughout the system. This whole idea of systemic racism is nothing but BS and Marxist rhetoric.
Well, you just
rhetoric.
Have to look at a guy like Leo Terrell, who will tell you everything you absolutely. Need to know. Lifelong Democrat.
And lifelong civil rights activist.
Yes, now voting
who is he
for
supporting
President
Trump. Hey, yeah. Linda, let's tell people how they can listen to Talking While Married.
Well, Talking While Married on AmericaOutloud.com is on every day at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. And we love talking to everybody. You can also catch us on podcast anytime you'd like. So you can listen on Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, just about anywhere. You can actually go to AmericaOutloud.com and download any one of the podcast listening, whatever they're called, at any time. Also, on AmericaOutloud.com, is a bookstore, and on the bookstore is Dr. Ron's very well selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter and the War on Police, and you can grab it there or also at drronmartinelli.com.
And I've got a new detective thriller fictional series, my first one, called Wade Justice Texas Ranger, and the reviews from Wade Justice Texas Ranger have just been phenomenal, and I feel so blessed. Now, you can get Wade Justice series. The first two books are out, Absolute Justice and Justice for All. Justice for All is an international thriller, kind of Tom Clancy type of thriller. Absolute Justice, the first book in the series, is about a serial killer in Nashville, and you can get that at all the places where you normally get books, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kindle, all of that. But if you want to personalize an autographed copy of the book or books, you can find those on our new website, which is easy to remember, Wade Justice. And justice is spelled J-U-S-T-U-S, wadejustice.com.